Today's episode of the podcast is sponsored by Dr. Carlo Bayraktarian.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. This is Der Narek, the pastor of St. Sarkis Church, along with our co-host, Mr. Veh Bizdigyan. Welcome to another episode of the podcast. Let's start our day with a prayer from St. Nerses, the gracious, Supnerses Shnorhavi.
Jishmarid Luis, Christos. Շնորհե հոգիս, որ գանչվելու օրը ուրախությամբ տեսնեք ու պարքիտ լույսը, և արդարներու օթևանին մեջ պարիքներու հույսովը հանգչի, մինչև կու մեծ քալստյանըդ օրը, և ողորմեք ու արարածներուդ, և ինձի պազմամեղիս. Christ, true light, make my soul worthy to behold with joy the light of your glory the day when you will call upon us, and to rest in the hope of good things in the happy abode of the just until the day of your glorious coming. Have mercy upon your creatures and upon me, great sinner that I am.
Thanks for coming, Veh. I know today you were not planning to be here.
We had a little conflict at home, and not a conflict. Conflict's not the right word, but a time conflict. Scheduling conflict. My wife, Arpi, is at a work function this evening, and I wasn't going to be able to make it. But my mom saved the day. Got to hand it to Sonia Bozdikyan for helping out and taking over the kids. She's with them right now, so we could have the time to record.
So it takes a village to produce a podcast.
Among many other things.
That's right.
We haven't prepared much today, Deadhide. Do we make it obvious that we haven't prepared? Or we just
do we
talk?
Prepare every
let's
week?
Let's keep a very free-flowing dialogue today.
That's what we do every time.
Talk about any topics that come to mind. Because typically when I walk in here, you'll say, okay, Veso, what are we going to talk about? And we'll lay out a few ideas, themes, things that we need to flesh out and explore. Today, we haven't done that. We just started recording because I feel like you're being very mindful of my mom being at home with the kids and looking to relieve her. So
that's right. That, and also, I haven't had a good night's sleep last night, so I'm dreaming of going home and trying to have a good night rest. But that being said, we have a good show. We have an interview coming up with Natalie Manesyan. And while we're waiting for her to arrive, we can have a discussion about different things. I love Halloween character this year, Veh.
Oh, we're going to talk about Halloween.
Isn't that your favorite topic?
It's not my favorite topic, but it's something that makes it brings joy to the household to see the kids be so excited to be in their little characters and costumes. And
it does.
I know my kids were princesses as usual. The girls love being princesses, dressing up and wearing their crowns and their colorful dresses. And what were the kids? I'll talk about my costume in a second, but why don't you tell us about your kids?
My kids, Hofsep was something from Star Wars I didn't quite understand which character he was, because I'm not into Star Wars. I haven't watched any of those, so I wouldn't know.
You haven't watched Star Wars?
I haven't.
Greg, our producer, has not watched Star Wars either.
I have not.
You two might be two of the last remaining Americans that have not watched Star Wars.
Bravo.
That's why we are able to work together. But obviously we are missing things, right? But by not watching Star Wars. I mean, it's something that I would like to watch one day. But so
it's such an important part of popular culture. And not to mention, going back to your point, you could actually identify with the costume that your child chooses.
I know. So, right. And Lori was a ballerina, something. I don't know. I just paid for the things. But I picked Avidis' thing, and he was the Mickey Mouse. So it was a great thing. And
Mickey Mouse is good for
Mickey thing. Mouse is good for 1 year old, right? So.
And you were?
I was.
Sorpazan?
No, I was the orange pumpkin, as usual.
The orange pumpkin,
yeah, very. It was good. So we went trick-or-treating yesterday, and I do not get the whole thing. I mean, we had bags of all kinds of candies and stuff that were prepared for people who would come for trick-or-treating, and then we went and we got some more of that. So it yeah. To me, it felt like we were recycling, giving out what we had and getting stuff that from our neighbors.
But
the kids.
Absolutely. It is a ridiculous concept, but thinking back to my childhood, I know you probably don't have an appreciation for it because you didn't do that overseas, whether it was in Lebanon or in Syria.
Right. Where you had Paragentan. On Paragentan we would go and they would give us cash. And cash was good, my friend.
Cash. Well, sometimes you may actually, there were times I remember when I was trick-or-treating as a child, people would throw coins, maybe a dollar bill or two, into the bag. I guess if they didn't have an opportunity to go out and pick up candy for the kids, they just threw money at them. I don't think my kids would be too happy with it, but, you know, candy's definitely a bigger seller.
The kids are happy. The dentists are happy. So it's a win-win.
And to answer the question, the original question, which was, what was your costume? I think you saw me. And
Maybe and I was able to recognize you. Yeah, recognize the costume.
I was, not to hold the audience in suspense, it's really not that interesting, but I was Kurt Cobain of
no
past.
Yes, he was.
The late, great Kurt Cobain of Nirvana. Yes, I had a blonde wig on, and I was wearing a Nirvana t-shirt and a flannel shirt over it, trying to channel the best Kurt Cobain that I could be. And most people identified it. A lot of people were like, hey, dude, you surfer guy? And I said, no, I'm Kurt Cobain.
No.
It's nice to have that option every so often to put on hair. Yeah. Having not had hair for so many years and not having had a haircut for over 25 years.
So you were follically blessed.
I was follically blessed with a full head of blonde hair. So I did enjoy that.
You know what's funny? Now with Facebook and social media, the world is such a small place. And while we in this part of the world are celebrating Halloween and posting pictures of our children with their costumes, a Facebook friend of mine, who is a priest serving in Iran, he posted something, you know, so harsh about Halloween, saying that this is the Satan's feast, and I'm surprised that my friends are celebrating this.
Especially your deadhead friend in New York City.
Exactly. So it's very interesting, you know. For some people, this is still a very demonic thing, but for us, it's something that we do for our kids, to see the smile on their face, to see the cheer that, you know, they're going from house to house, getting all the candies. That's all I think about, you know. And
well, before the kids came, I recall you were 100% opposed to it.
Yeah.
And we have consistently called it the Fall Festival here at St. Saki's.
Sure.
So it's not a Halloween party.
It is not, no. Still.
But I think it just changes. The dynamics change as you have children. And
perspective changes. It's all a matter of perspective. So,
well,
so
good.
We're
I'm
sorry
glad you
that
enjoy.
We have offended our friends overseas, but this is something that
our friends in Iran and
still
Lebanon.
Happening here, so it's all good. So Veja, I was browsing the news today, and I'm not interested about politics. I'm interested about the good stuff that is happening all over the world. And
or you're not interested in politics?
I am not.
For the purpose of the podcast, we'll avoid the topic, but I do believe you have engaged in some political discussion.
Yes, I have. I have. But that will not be part of the podcast.
That's right. We try to be very neutral.
We will pray on the podcast for our nation, but that's about it. But obviously, it is the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. And the Lutheran Church was celebrating that. And you know what was surprising? To see Pope Francis to be part of the celebrations as to praise Martin Luther, the person who started the Reformation. That was very interesting.
Why don't you tell our listeners, some may not even be aware of what happened 500 years ago with the Protestant Reformation. Most people do, just in passing, but if you could give a quick recap of what it was exactly that transpired that caused the Protestant Reformation.
My background is not historical theology. My background is pastoral theology, but the story of the Reformation is something that we all know about. It obviously happened 500 years ago when Martin Luther, who was a Roman Catholic priest, he was not happy with certain practices, certain things, and within his tradition, and he wanted to have a debate. And that's why he prepared all the points, the 99 points that he wanted to speak about and have a debate about that in his local parish. And because it was the time where printing press was being established everywhere, they took that and they printed it and pressed, and it was everywhere. And what Martin Luther was trying to do was something very small, but it turned out to be something very big because of the media of that day. And, of course, because of the political environment was ready for that change. So politics and religion played the whole thing together. And subsequently, the Western Church was split, Roman Catholic and Evangelical. And the rest is history. And we know that what was originally considered to be the Lutheran Church was further split into other evangelical denominations. And today we have an assortment of different evangelical churches and the Roman Catholic Church. But as a result of the Reformation and Martin Luther, the Roman Catholic Church also, they had their Reformation, which is considered to be the Council of Trent, which took a hard look on their practices, and they tried to reform certain things in their own church. And it's a good thing. Sometimes we need challenges to wake up and to try to fix things. And change is good when you know your roots and you know what are the important things and what are some of the things that you can change.
How did, or if it did at all, was there any bearing at all on the Armenian church with what occurred 500 years ago?
Obviously, the Armenian Evangelical Church, which was formed in Constantinopolis and throughout Western Armenia, was the result of the Reformation. And
but was that within the same time frame? I thought it was several hundred years later.
It was hundreds of years later, and it's funny, it didn't come from Germany, where Martin Luther was. It came from the United States. Mm-hmm. It was a result of the missionary movement that was created here in the East Coast. And then they went to Turkey or Western Armenia. And then initially they wanted to educate and start with schools and universities and colleges throughout different regions in Armenia, which was a great thing. And the Armenian Evangelical Church was created. And since then, we have three different denominations, Armenian Orthodox, Armenian Catholic, and Armenian Evangelical. And the three of us, you know, have worked together, and we have proved to the world that we can coexist.
And constructively coexist. It's not
sure,
as though
what unites us is much, much bigger than what divides us. So that's the thing that we need to focus on.
Today, Dead Hype, I'm pleased to announce that we are joined by my cousin, Natalie Minesyan, who is the co-chair of the upcoming Saturday School Gala at Woodbury Country Club this Saturday, November 5th. And she's here to tell us about the event. We're very excited to speak to her this evening. Hi, Natalie. Welcome.
Hi, Vi. I'm happy to be here.
Why don't you tell us a bit about what to expect that day, all the planning and preparation that's gone into it. And, you know, we're very enthused and excited about the event, and we want to hear more about it.
I'd be glad to share that. This is our fourth annual gala that we are doing for the school. And the purpose of the gala is to raise funds and for the school. And in previous years, there were different reasons why we were doing the gala. Either was to improve the technology of the school, adding computers and more interesting material for the children. But this year, we have a very special purpose for it. We are actually growing significantly as a school, and we're running out of space. So this year's fundraising is to help us expand the school, and we're hoping for a great turnout. The event, as you mentioned, is at the Woodbury Country Club. A cocktail start at 5:30 and then followed by dinner at 6:30. We have a great event in store. A lot of planning has gone towards it. We have a great DJ who will be entertaining us for the event and some great raffle prizes, some trips, some rugs, some jewelry, something for everybody in the raffle prizes. And it should be a great event. So we're looking forward to it.
That sounds terrific, Natalie. As the co-chair of this event, God knows you've had so many responsibilities throughout the year to put this event together. Why don't you tell us a bit about your role in the organization as the PTA co-chair and tell us about how that routine transpires on a weekly basis and what your responsibilities are. And obviously you do it with a lot of passion and enthusiasm for the school, but give us a bit of a background on how you've gotten involved in the school and what you do on a routine basis.
Well, how I've gotten involved with the school is basically I started bringing my oldest son, who's now 12, since the age of 3. And at that time, he was one of, I believe, 37 students. And this year, we have topped 100 students. I think we're at 101 enrolled students for the Saturday school.
That is outstanding.
Which is great. And over the years, I became more and more involved. And I was treasurer for a couple of years with the PTA. And then somehow I managed to become co-chair, and I've been the co-chair for over 3 years now, and it is a busy task, but it's one that I do with joy. It involves planning the different events for the children, whether it be the Harvest Fest that we just had a few weeks ago, this gala, the Christmas Hantes, the Easter breakfast that we do, and then also keep the parents informed with what's going on in the school with, you know, regular emails and updates, and just being the liaison between the parents, the teachers, and the school, and making sure that things are functioning properly.
That sounds like you've got a lot on your plate. And in the midst of all this, you're planning a gala that is a big stress. A lot of pressure to make sure that it's going to be a great evening. But as always, you've delivered. So we're looking forward to this event. And of course, this year, with it being such a special cause, the fact that we have outgrown the school, we've outgrown the facility here at St. Sarkis, which is an outstanding development. I think people will be overly enthusiastic to be there, to lend their support, to spend a couple extra dollars to make a donation to the school and maybe end up walking away with a nice raffle item, which would be
absolutely
a great top off to a good evening.
Of course, I'm not alone in planning this event. I'm surrounded by a committee of wonderful ladies mainly, but even some gentlemen in the PTA who have helped tremendously, whether it's in helping obtain sponsors for the event, obtaining raffle prizes, or just even in the planning, the logistics. Just to name a few names, I'm sure I'm going to leave some out, but the event co-chair with me is Annette Givilekian, and she and her husband have been instrumental in helping us get sponsors and raffle prizes and just promoting the event. And then, of course, some of the other members, including Sadin Altan, who, along with her husband, have been helping us put the booklet together. And then other members as well, Madeleine Hazarian and Vena Melkonian, among many others who have helped in this process.
We're looking forward to it. The details are cocktails kicking off 5:30 p.m., dinner at 6:30. If you have not yet purchased your ticket, you can RSVP direct to St. Sarkis Gala RSVP at gmail.com, or you can call a few individuals who are involved directly in the event planning. And as always, you can just call directly into the church office at 718-224-2275. So thank you very much, Natalie, for joining us this evening.
Thank you for having me.
We look forward to the event on Saturday.
Let's read and reflect on the Word of God. And today's reading is from the Epistle of St. Paul to the Hebrews, chapter 13, verses 7 through 9.
Remember your leaders who spoke the Word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. It is good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace, not by eating ceremonial foods, which is of no benefit to those who do so.
The Word of God. This is from the final chapter of the Epistle to the Hebrews. Traditionally, we say this is a letter by St. Paul, but scholars believe that this was someone who knew St. Paul and knew his style, and he wrote this letter exhorting all the Jewish communities to consider Jesus. And in this part, it's very interesting, the author exhorting us to remember our leaders who spoke the Word of God to us. Remember, you leaders spoke the Word of God to you. Obviously, when we read this, I think there are two things that we think about. The first is that if we had any influential pastor, a person who introduced us to the life of faith, and that's what I think about from the that's what comes to my mind. But when we continue reading, I think it is also true for the father of our faith, those who brought that faith to us as Armenians, the champions of our faith, the heroes, the saints, in other words.
Thaddeus and Bartholomew, Grigor the Savorich.
And all the saints of our church. And the exhortation is very interesting. He says, consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith.
Mm-hmm.
So there's this thinking in the Pauline theology that we are all saved by grace and we need to have a personal relationship with Jesus, and all of that is great. But this does not negate the fact that there are champions of faith that we need to look their lives, and there are things that we can learn from and we can imitate them to have a better relationship in our life of faith. Otherwise, when you do not have role models, then it becomes something very subjective.
Well, if this is still attributable to Paul, wouldn't this be Pauline theology as well?
He's giving
that guidance, that in addition to the grace received.
Sure. So it's very dangerous, I think, when you pick a part from the scriptures and you focus only on that and you make that like as if this is it. Anything else doesn't matter. We need to look at scripture in its entirety and try to see what is the overall message. So, and sometimes churches focus on one part, neglecting the other part. To us, that over-inclusive idea must be always present.
But not to take away from this point that you're making, the point of grace and salvation is still the fundamental component of Christian life. That's where it starts. You're saying that the journey begins from that point and has to be cultivated by looking at these types of individuals, leaders, people who've preceded us and who've lived exemplary Christian lives.
Absolutely. I do not like that thinking when people live their life as if, you know, there was Jesus and there's them and there's nothing in between.
Mm-hmm.
Our church teaches us that there's a whole generations of heroes of faith. And when we look at their lives, there's a lot of lessons that we can learn. There's a lot of encouragement that we can have. So today the Catholic Church, for example, is celebrating All Saints. It's something that we will celebrate down the line in November. But I was listening to the Catholic radio this morning, and my favorite show, Gus Lloyd, was taking calls from people and asking them this very odd question. If I were to take you and your favorite saint to dinner, who that saint would be and why? And people were picking different saints and saying, I would pick saint this and that. And, you know, it was very interesting why people were relating to specific saints. And one person was reflecting on Saint Joseph, the foster father of Jesus, you know, about whom we know very little. And he told that, you know, there were times in his life where he had doubts, where he questioned his marriage, and he would always look at Saint Joseph and would contemplate on his life all the questions that Saint Joseph must have had in his life, but he was always faithful. So, you know, that was like aha moment for me. You know, mm-hmm. when we contemplate on the life of the saints, there's a lesson for us to learn. And but that doesn't mean that, you know, we pray for the saints. No, we pray to Jesus. We worship Jesus. But the saints are supporters in our life of faith.
We don't pray to the saints.
We do not pray to the saints.
When we say when we pray as the intercession of the saints, what exactly does that mean?
Well, you know, let's put it this way. If I have something going on in my life which is stressful, you as my friend, I would ask you to pray for me. I would expect that you would do the same. You would say, why don't you say a prayer for me? And we would do that to each other because we are friends.
Mm-hmm.
The saints, in that same sense, are our heavenly friends who can mm-hmm. say an extra prayer for us. That's what we do. You know, it's never harms to ask for the intercession of people who are closer to God than we are. That's the whole idea of the intercession.
Can I ask one last question about
Absolutely.
This reading?
Absolutely.
Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. What is this in reference to? Is it things that were contrary to the Christian message at the time and other people professing themselves as prophets?
Well, this is the letter to the Hebrews. This is addressed to the Jewish community. And obviously there were those who were embracing Christianity, but also focusing on certain practices from their old faith and making it sound like you need to do this in order to become a better Christian. Obviously, this is what this teaching is about, but this also is true in our lives. We as Christians in the 21st century in the Armenian Church, we come we see sometimes people who would practice certain things without understanding the full meaning of what are they practicing, and they would impose it on others. So it's very important for us to discern and to think what is important and what is secondary, and for us to follow the essence, the things that are essential in the life of our faith. So the final point that I want to focus on is about Jesus. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. This is an encouraging word for us that, you know, we might change, our situation might change, but Jesus Christ is the same. His love for us is the same, and the salvation that he brought is the same, and we can rely on Jesus Christ as our rock and our foundation. Today's hymn is of Bardizban. This is another resurrection hymn from our liturgical calendar, and this is performed by the renowned singer Isabel Bayraktarian. I hope you will enjoy listening to Of Bardizman. We will be back hopefully in 2 weeks. In the meantime, I'd like to thank our sponsor, Dr. Carlo Bayraktarian. Thanks to Ve and Greg for all the hard work. Thanks to our listeners for being faithful listeners to the podcast. I pray that the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ will be always in your hearts. Amen.
Today's podcast was brought to you by Dr. Carlo Bayraktarian. If you'd like to sponsor future episodes, please contact the St. Sarkis Church office at 718-224-2275.